Historians and archivists are incensed over President Bush's executive order, which amends the Presidential Records Act. The act passed in 1978, a governmental reform in the wake of Watergate. It made presidential papers government property and required that most presidential papers be made public 12 years after a president leaves office. This month's order may change that. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The Bush executive order was prompted by the imminent release of 68,000 pages of documents reflecting internal deliberations on important domestic policy matters in the Reagan administration. Mr. Reagan, having taken office in 1981, was the first president to be covered by the act. And while low-level, run-of-the-mill documents had previously been released, the 68,000 pages scheduled for release last January were, as one historian put it, the first batch of good stuff. Internal debates over affirmative action, environmental policy, who urged what course of action, who was in opposition, etc. The document release was blocked, however, when the White House three times extended the time period allowed under the statute for an incumbent president to review and object to release on grounds such as executive privilege. Finally, instead of objecting at all, President Bush issued an order that critics say simply changes the rules established under the 1978 law. The reaction has been fast and furious. At a hearing called by a House Government Reform Subcommittee, only Republican members showed up. Instead of defending the president's order, the Republicans trashed it. Typical was this statement by Congressman Doug Osi.
The bottom line is that the new order appears to violate not only the spirit but also the letter of the Presidential Records Act. In 1978, Congress very clearly expressed its intent to make presidential records available for congressional investigations and then for the public after a 12-year period. This new order undercuts the public's rights to be fully informed about how this government, the people's government, operated in the past.
Historians and archivists are also in full battle cry. Stephen Hansen, the president of the American Society of Archivists, called the Bush order an attempt to undermine access to information that belongs to the public.
For such access to be abrogated by an executive process that's not subject to public or legislative review really violates the principles upon which our nation was founded, I think.
And Scott Nelson, a lawyer with Public Citizen, all but promised a court challenge. If the law had applied to President Johnson's papers, he noted, the Bush executive order might have prevented the publication of Michael Beschloss's acclaimed new book based on Johnson's tape-recorded White House conversations. The Presidential Records Act did not, in fact, cover the Johnson presidency, but Mrs. Johnson allowed historians unfettered access to her husband's presidential materials. That, as Scott Nelson observes, was an act of grace.
The whole point of the Presidential Records Act was not to have to rely on the good graces of the former president and his family, and this executive order really resurrects that old system that we thought we got away from in 1978.
The Bush administration defends the executive order unabashedly. Here's the president's spokesman, Ari Fleischer.
More information will be forthcoming, and it'll be available through a much more orderly process.
But critics counter that the executive order essentially gives a former president and the incumbent president veto power over releasing material. Whereas the statute authorizes the archivist to release material over presidential objections after 12 years, the executive order requires that any material be withheld if either the former president or the current president objects. Moreover, while the order imposes time limits for presidential review, those time limits can now be extended indefinitely. In a briefing for reporters, White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez conceded that a former or current president could delay release theoretically forever, but he noted that such actions can always be challenged in court, and if a president's justifications are not valid, he will lose. Both Gonzalez and Fleischer cited national security as one of the reasons the executive order had been necessary, and why even if a former president wants to release certain documents, the current president should be able to block it. Ari Fleischer.
A previous administration that is not currently in power would not be as aware as a current administration of ongoing national security issues. So that provides for an ability of a current administration to review it.
Critics, however, counter that argument is simply bogus because the Presidential Records Act has a separate provision keeping all classified material secret for at least 25 years. The material at issue in these 68,000 pages is purely on domestic policy questions. The critics suggest that the executive order is perhaps aimed at protecting President Bush's father and many members of the current administration who served in the Reagan administration. Bruce Craig is director of a national coalition of historian and archivist groups.
The conspiracy theorists are going to start wondering, well, what's in those documents that are embarrassing? What's in those documents that Ronald Reagan doesn't want to see get out? What's in those documents that George Bush Sr. doesn't want to see get out?
Indeed, the Bush executive order, for the first time, gives a vice president, in this case former Vice President Bush, the right to assert executive privilege on his own, separate and distinct from the president. The Presidential Records Act does give former presidents the right to prevent disclosure of documents based on constitutional privileges, including executive privilege. But the Supreme Court has held that executive privilege erodes over time and may be trumped by the need for public access. The Bush executive order adds specifically another privilege, lawyer-client privilege. Critics say that is particularly curious since the courts ruled repeatedly during the Clinton administration that a president may not refuse to disclose information discussed with the White House counsel, except in very limited situations. And finally, the Bush executive order allows a president or someone he designates to invoke all the president's privileges to prevent disclosure of documents. The historian's Bruce Craig notes that this provision was clearly written with President Reagan in mind, but he contends it has enormous implications.
In theory, if something was to happen to President Clinton, let's say, in the next 12 years or so, it could mean that his wife or his daughter or conceivably his granddaughter down the line could be making the decisions in terms of what gets released.
Scott Nelson, who represents Craig and other historians, is an ironic champion. He cut his teeth on the Presidential Records Act, representing President Nixon in unsuccessful challenges. These days, he's on the other side, arguing for what he calls the public interest, and he's planning a lawsuit challenging the Bush order.
There's really nothing in legal developments over the past 20 years, indeed since the passage of the Presidential Records Act, that really supports this order.
Litigation, though, will take years. And as Reagan scholar Hugh Davis Graham puts it,
right now, we're having to play by the president's rules. And the 12-year moratorium in the Presidential Records Act is kind of a dead letter.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.